Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the CONCACAF Champions League Review Show. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the CONCACAF Champions League Quarterfinals Review Show, as we talk about the clubs that are in the 2020 CONCACAF Champions League. Everyone knows that this edition of the CONCACAF Champions League has restarted, and all I can say is that so far, for MLS sides, it has not gone smoothly at all, or swimmingly, as we have already seen currently right now. New York City FC is down by a lot. Now, New York City FC, I don't know if that one will count, but the match is over right now. Final whistle has been blown. 4 goals for Tigres in this second half. I was going to say, nope, that goal did not count. So it is 4-0 in the second leg, and all on aggregate, 5-0 for Tigres, as we basically saw a beating. We basically saw a beating happen tonight, and all you can really say is that the superior side did a fantastic job of schooling New York City FC. Of course, their first ever run in the CONCACAF Champions League. And really, there's not much more you can say. It's not much more you can do. We remember back in February, March, to see New York City FC playing a good game at Red Bull Arena, but they gave up that away goal in second-half stoppage time, and that was a tough one. Joining me now live after this matchup, Michael Anderer, Blue City Radio. Michael, there was some glimmer of hope, but unfortunately for NYCFC, Tigres came in ready to go, ready to challenge, and they came out as the victors in Tigres.
It was, you know, quite honestly, it was an ugly game. Dan, thanks so much for having me on. But it was a tough one to watch for sure for NYCFC fans.
Yep, it really was. And you know, it's not. I don't know if it was a lack of effort. I don't think so. I mean, I thought that they went out there and gave it their best. We all know it's tough when you get eliminated in the playoffs in the opening round. And then you go on, I guess, what, 3 weeks, no games. You're basically training all the time. And then you get this opportunity to try and right a wrong that happened at Red Bull Arena. And then all of a sudden, like, Tigres just found a way to become a steamroller.
Yeah, look, I mean, NYCFC started the first half well. Obviously, they conceded the first goal to Gignac. Look, that's going to be something that I don't think anyone thought NYCFC was going to hold Tigres scoreless in that game. But you're coming out of the first half, you thought that they still had a chance. Really, the story of the night was Quiñones. He tore up Matarrita, and you saw Matarrita be one of the first subs that Ronnie Dyla, you know, took out, and it was or one of the first players Ronnie Dyla took out for subs. It was a tough night for him, and it was a tough night for NYCFC. I think if you watch the broadcast, you heard it from John Strong. The key to the game was Tigres had six shots on goal, and four of them ended up in the back of the net. NYCFC all season long struggled to get shots on target. They created a lot of chances. I mean, they had the ball. They had some really good movement. This is probably the best game I've seen NYCFC play, where they were getting really quick movement of the ball, in a dangerous position. The problem was they could never get that final pass, and they could never get that shot on target.
Yeah, they did. Seeing the end of the match, I thought they got a consolation prize, but it looks like that goal did not count. So, final whistle blew to make it. That was offside? Okay, that's what it was, offside. So, but still, though, it didn't really matter if they get their consolation prize or not. It's still 4-0 on the second leg, 5-0 on aggregate, and New York CFC gets eliminated going into the semifinals. So, what do you think about the Ronnie and how he managed this this match? I mean, look, there's nothing. I mean, what do you say when you have to take on a guy like Tuca Ferretti, who is one of the best managers in all of Mexico, whether it be on the club side, the one moment he was manager for the national team. I mean, we all know, if you've watched any Liga MX matches, Michael, how demanding he is. Because you saw after Tigres made it 2-0, they kind of fell asleep a little bit. And I really thought that New York City FC was going to take advantage of that little, you know, that little sleep motion right there, because I really thought if they pulled one back, then Tigres is really in it for a game.
Yeah, and you also saw it during the game, during the broadcast. Tigres was up, and Ferretti was fired up on the bench. You know, they had a 2-goal lead, and he was still screaming at his players because of the mistakes that they were making. You know, he knows that tonight wasn't the last game that he wants his team to play. He knows the entire Tigres team knows that they have to still deliver for their coach, or they're going to be on the bench for the next game. Relative to Ronnie Dyla, I think he did well given the circumstances. And again, I referenced this entire season, NYCFC has struggled to score goals. They scored some goals in bunches. They had a short stretch where they had scored 11 goals in a period of 4 games. But beyond that, this is a team that really struggled to take quality chances. And we saw Gary Mackay-Steven, a player who is currently on the bubble for NYCFC because he's not under contract yet for 2021, waste a lot of chances. And we saw Ronald Matarrita, give him credit for taking the chances and being hungry, but none of Matarrita's shots were on target tonight.
No, nothing at all. All I can really say is I think they just got a real big beating tonight, and it really wasn't pretty at all in this one. And, of course, they will not be playing in the next edition, which will come up in February next year. But still, though, what lessons do you think New York City FC learned in this, their first time in the CONCACAF Champions League? What do you think they've learned in this one?
I think they've learned that they've got to have depth, and that's what a lot of MLS teams learn when they go through this tournament. They just don't have the bench players that can make a difference. And NYCFC has struggled with that all season long. Yes, part of it is due to injury, but I think a lot of that is also due to the lack of investment from the club. And you know it from covering Red Bull, how that can damage a team. When you're taking out a player in the end of this game, in a Champions League game, and yes, maybe Dyla is saying that this game was already conceded, but when you're taking out a player who's an MLS starter and you're bringing in an 18-year-old, homegrown, it means a lot. And look, Andres Jason did well with the opportunities he had. Again, some bad touches here or there, but that's not what Ferretti has to deal with. He's not going to take out a player on his bench and put in some sort of an unknown academy player. So I think that's the lesson that NYCFC learned, is that if they want to advance and they want to continue to grow, they've got to find those a better way to manage their roster to where they have some quality depth, sitting there with a hunger to come in.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. I mean, not comparing, of course, what Red Bulls did in their 2018 run, of course. Look, they swept Club Tijuana, and they only conceded one goal in the semifinals against Guadalajara, but they couldn't put one in themselves. And, when you got a team that's bunkering in, of course, that's always going to be difficult. But I'll just say this, Michael. At least they got a taste of it. And I think that's a positive in my book. They got a taste of being an international club competition for the very first time. And I guess with Mackay Stevens in Scotland, I don't know if he ever played with Rangers or Celtic, but, you know, or even maybe in Europa League. But still, you have to say that for, you know, this club, maybe the next time that they get into it, you know, maybe they've learned from this, and maybe management will finally understand, you know, if you want to go out there and really perform at a high level on the international club scene, you got to have depth. You got to have maybe a better game plan. I mean, you're probably going to have to do something better. I mean, and just to go back to the first leg, and I know it's been such a far away time because they had to have that separation due to the coronavirus. If they did not concede that away goal late in second half stoppage time, do you believe maybe this match would have been a little bit better?
That one is tough. I think they always knew that they came in, regardless of the result of that game, they knew they had to come into this game and win. And at least to avoid penalties. And obviously NYCFC didn't want to go through another penalty shootout in Orlando. So I don't think so. And I think ultimately it wasn't about what NYCFC did tonight. It was about what Tigres did tonight. NYCFC played probably the best game they could have played given the lineup they had and given the struggles they had with players getting sold, players getting hurt during the MLS season, and then players going out for surgery in the postseason. But it was really about what Tigres did.
No, absolutely. Tigres is just a monster out there. Did you feel, because I know Sean Johnson, he didn't have any symptoms of coronavirus, but still he was in a room where, I guess, was it three or four players were, you know, after tests, they were contracted with coronavirus. Did you feel that was a big, big letdown not to have him in goal? Nothing against the new kid, but still, though, you know, when you have your starting goalkeeper in there, you know, you feel confident. Do you think that played a part in this?
Ultimately, no. Barraza, mm-hmm. and the four goals that were conceded, I don't think he had any chance on any of them. And he did make that one big save as Gignac had that one breakaway. So I don't think it did. You could say that maybe Johnson would have controlled and directed the center backs a little bit better. You saw early in the game at one point Maxime Cheneau, who's been a member of NYCFC for a while, go up to Barraza and give him some direction. And I think if that's Sean Johnson, I think that conversation is going the other way. So maybe there's a little bit of communication. Maybe on that last goal, maybe Barraza is calling out the coverage and Maxime is not out of position when that pass comes across. But I don't think Barraza had anything to do with it. The only thing you can worry about, and again, you'll never hear this from the players, was how much did those last minute scratches, how much did that affect the confidence of the team going into this game? And how much obviously I think the guys who played would say it didn't really matter, but I think that's the professional response. And you have to wonder, everything they've been through, after everything everyone's been through 2020, to be playing your final game, you know, this late in the year, and to have four players get taken off your roster, I think that's going to be something that really affects your psyche.
Yeah. I know you got to get going. I know you get to that Zoom call to talk to Ronnie and some of the players. So listen, have a good night. Happy holidays to you and your family. I'll talk to you next year, okay?
Thanks, Dan. I really appreciate the time. Good luck.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good night. Michael Ander, Blue City Radio, as New York City FC get eliminated from the CONCACAF Champions League. Excuse me, the restart of the CONCACAF Champions League. As they basically head on home. They head on home, and it is over and done with for their season as, once again, New York City FC fall 4-0 in the second leg, 5-0 altogether on aggregate. And it's just one of those things where you really cannot complain because, you know, we all know about Tigres. We all know about Tuca Ferretti, who was a damn good manager in Liga MX. And talking about him, of course, John Jagu, Soccer Chronicles, Cantina MX podcast. John, I mean, there's nothing much more we can say. Tigres is a well-oiled machine. Tuca had him ready to go, and once again, they put the punishing blows on New York City FC to advance to the semifinals.
Good morning, Daniel. Yes, you know, it's funny because, you know, watching the match in the first, you know, 20, 25 minutes, I mean, it seemed like Tigres were just, I mean, they really didn't have any desire to possess the ball. Their passing wasn't particularly crisp. They were sloppy. But it seemed like just like the NYCFC just could not capitalize. They couldn't get the that one really good chance to set them up for you know for a much more different game. And Quiñones with Luis Quiñones with a cross to Gignac and. The Frenchman heads the ball in, and from that moment on, and then particularly the second goal that happened so early in the second half, it just completely took the wind out of NYCFC's sail. Do they have a nickname, NYCFC?
Nope, that's it, NYCFC. You can call them New York City FC or the NYCFC. So that's as far as it goes. Or you can just say the Red Wedding, if you'd like, when they put Red Bulls put seven past them.
Well,
in
the Red Wedding was when Chile beat Mexico 7-0 in the Copa America. But and Tigres just you know as you pointed out, you know they just methodically went and got the you know the rest of the goals, and you know Gignac scores his goal in the first half and you know pays homage to Thierry Henry.
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately, we're not going to see the Gignac Henry reunion with Montreal going out. And you know I'm not sure what's going to happen in the other half of the bracket because you know kind of like in this one I mean we had two you know NYCFC and Tigres both had very disappointing ends to their season NYCFC if I'm not mistaken in the same stadium losing that bizarro a penalty shootout to Orlando and Tigres losing out to Cruz Azul in the quarterfinals which is so unlike them to go out so early in the Liga MX I mean, I'll be honest with you, Daniel. I mean, you know, like I said, those first 25 minutes, Tigres was – they were vulnerable. They were making mistakes. They were making uncustomary mistakes. They were playing defensively but not really – I'm not going to say they were really controlling the match, you know, as one can when you're playing defensively. They just – you know, they just looked like that they were uninterested. And NYCFC, unfortunately for them, they just couldn't get the – they couldn't get the goal they needed, and when Tigres did, and then you can almost feel it coming. You know, watching a match like that, it's like, man, they really need to take advantage of that because if they don't, the first chance Tigres gets, they're going to score, and that's exactly. I mean, how many times can you say that when you watch a game where you know a team that needs to score and they're dominating, you know, possession and they're trying to, but they're just not really doing anything. You're like, man, if the team like gets one going, it's going to go in. And it happens time and time again. So it happened tonight. And, you know, I mean, you have to say that Tigres is going to be favored against Motagua without question.
Olimpia.
And Olimpia, I'm sorry. I'm getting my Honduran teams mixed up. And you know, great for them. You know, great for Olimpia to get through into the semifinals. But, you know, this is a trophy that Tigres has been chasing a long time. You know, for the past 5 years, it's been their white whale. They just you know, they've seen their crosstown rivals win it, what, four times in the past 10 years?
And how many times have they had
– Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've made, you know, two finals that I can remember, you know, against Pachuca and against América. I can't remember. And then they've lost to Toronto. I mean, they've had some very public and just embarrassing to just haven't played well when they needed to. And now, you know, they had a disappointing season, and that they have a chance to finally get the trophy. By the way, that's the thing. You know, I'm gonna have to start calling this trophy the spider, because the logo that they use for this thing, I mean, it looks like a spider.
Yes, I know.
So
it does.
I know
it really,
they call
really
the
does.
And you know, they call the Champions League trophy, at least in Spanish, they call it the Orejona, which means like the big ear trophy. So to me, I mean, you know, this is the spider. And if if not now for Tigres, then when? Because they're going to go up against teams.
That's right.
You know, whoever survives on the other side of the bracket, whether it's Atlanta, LAFC, Cruz Azul, or Club America, all four of them. Very worthy opponents. Don't get me wrong. But all four of them, you know, all also had very disappointing ends to their season. So, I mean, you can't really consider one favorite over another. So again, you know, Tigres, you know, has this chance. They have a, you know, as accessible a semifinal as you could possibly have in a CONCACAF, playing a Honduran team. And again, nothing against the Honduran teams. The Honduran teams are great, and they've improved dramatically as this tournament has progressed and evolved over the past few years. But, you know, playing Olimpia is not the same thing as playing Club America in a semifinal. Let's be honest. So they have
no,
they,
absolutely.
They have, it is laid out for them to win the semifinal. You know, to go into the final with a lot of momentum. And are the semifinals a one off? Is it not?
Yes, it is.
I mean, we're not. So I mean, you know, and you know, you see, and then there's, you know, and there's the danger. I mean, what if Olimpia gets because if I'm not mistaken, this is how long ago it's been. Didn't Tigres made it to the quarterfinals because their goalie scored a goal in second half stoppage?
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
You're correct.
That was like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
In early 2020. So,
right.
And I think we talked about it then. It's like when you have a chance to take a team like that out, you got to take it. Because
yes.
When teams like that survive, they usually end up winning the thing. And of course, we probably said that back then, but you know, stuff happened since then.
Yeah, it's true. And I want to go back to the second half, because after they made it 2-0 in the match, they started to give NYCFC chances. They gave them they allowed them to possess the ball. They allowed them to get close to goal. I mean, once again, not on target. Nothing ever went in. I mean, great, some fabulous saves by the keeper. But the truth is, you saw Tuca on, you know, in his technical area going bonkers. And I knew, he's like, no, he doesn't like this. You can tell he was upset. He was angry. Reverting back to the start of the first half. Why are you allowing New York City FC to gain confidence? But thankfully, the third goal came, and that ended. John is trying to...
Hang on one second. Sorry about that. I had a frog in my throat.
That's okay.
I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, once you've got a team down like that, you know, the last thing you want to do, I mean, we saw it last week in the MLS Western Conference Championship with Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot give a team, a good team, you know, a team that has firepower, confidence. And, you know, that's why Tuca was so upset. And, you know, like you said, you know, once the third goal hit, then you know, at that point it was academic. But I mean, see, that to me is a reason for Tuca to remind his players, hey, you know, you can't let your guard down. Excuse me, you can't let your guard down. You know, if you know, they go up against Olimpia, they get an early goal, whatever it is. You know, they can't allow, you know, the team to come back. And so Tuca now has a, you know, something that he can kind of, you know, chew on his players a little bit. And, you know, because when you win 4-0, I mean, you gotta come up with something to yell at your players about when you're a grouch. And so Tuca has, you know, he definitely has some ammunition to remind them, hey, you know, it's not like we haven't been here before. You know, it's not like we haven't, you know, played up to our, you know, we've not played up to our abilities in this very tournament earlier in the year. So, you know, again, to me, if Tigres has this amazing window, they have an amazing opportunity at a time where I think that their window is starting to close. With this tournament, because I don't think that they're going to be able to play in it next. I can't remember how they've set up the teams that have qualified for the next one, and I don't think Tigres is one of Pumas and León obviously because they just played the final, but I can't remember how they've set up the other two to play in this thing. I think one of them is a Copa Mix, but I don't think Tigres is involved in that. So this could be it for them, because I mean, you know, Gignac is on as good as he's been. He's probably, in his last couple of years. The Tuca is in his last couple of years. So this really is, this is their last stand to get the one trophy that they've really wanted to get ever since they started winning, you know, trophies by the bushel. But this is the one that has escaped them. So I do think that they are going to do their darndest to see if they can leave Orlando with having to get an extra suitcase to pack some hardware to take them back to Monterey.
Yeah, I mean, I have to ask you this. How brilliant has Gignac been for Monterey? I mean, excuse me, for Tigres? Because, you know, I mean, how many times have you ever heard, you know, one of these European big-time players that play in Europe and then they want to, you know, go somewhere else? I mean, I know MLS has been a destination for some of these players like Beckham, like Henry, like Tim Cahill, and, you know, on and on and on. But you rarely see players like Gignac that say, yeah, I want to go to Mexico. I want to give that a shot, and I'm going to really come and play for you guys. I'm not here on a vacation. I'm actually here to play for you and to show you that I am here for you, and hopefully you'll be here for me. He's been brilliant since coming over to Tigres.
You know, he absolutely has. And, you know, this is something that we discussed on our podcast. It's been a while since we've had a podcast, to be honest with you. But, you know, when he first started, I mean, obviously, you know, the impact he made was immediate. I mean, they won. You know, they've won three titles since he's been there, three league titles since he's been there. Have not won the Champions League, unfortunately for them. But he scored. He's getting to the point where there is a pantheon of foreign players in Liga MX. I mean, obviously Liga MX is an importers league. There's gobs of foreigners that played in Liga MX over the years, especially in the. In the color TV, I call it the color TV era, you know, from the 70s on. But there are some foreign players that have really set themselves apart. You know, just a handful of guys that have really set themselves apart in the league. That are iconic legends. And if Gignac can help Tigres get this trophy, then I think that he can certainly be included in that group, and those guys are Cavinho, who was the all-time leading scorer, played for Pumas and Atlante and a couple other teams, is a Brazilian. The Ecuadorian Alex Aguinaga, who played for Necaxa in the mid '90s, were probably the last dynasty outside of before Tigres. Recently, a goalie by the name of Miguel Marin, who played for Cruz Azul when they won a bunch of championships in the '70s, and a Chilean named Carlos Reynoso, who played for Club America, who again, was, the reason why Club America has this reputation and this, but the most loved and most hated team in Mexico he's as probably as big a reason as anybody as why that he was just an incredibly good player. So those players are really like the supreme echelon of foreign players. And I do think that if Gignac can get this trophy and then maybe win like the league title coming up. Oh, I'm sorry. And then there is one more, Garbosso, the Paraguayan striker who played for Toluca, who in a short season, Daniel, scored 29 goals in 17 games.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah, he was pretty good. And his playoff his playoff scoring goal scoring is disgusting. Like it's in the 20s and 30s. It's disgusting. I mean, the dude was a goal scoring machine. Yes. Okay. So those are the top of the top. Gignac, I think if he can, you know, he's got the goals obviously. If he can get, you know, a couple more trophies, then I think that he will that he'll be included in that same breath, and it's well deserved. I mean, he, as you pointed out, you know, a lot of, I mean, there have been other Europeans that have come to Mexico, but like you said, they kind of come to cash a check and not really exert themselves, and we've seen that also with Europeans in MLS. So obviously, we've seen some Europeans in MLS to come and play hard, this and that, kind of like the way Gignac did. The one thing that really surprised me, Daniel, was that I thought that because of the way that Gignac came over, and knowing that Mexico has a budget, and you know they have money to pay, that we didn't see more like mid level, you know, mid to upper level European players who probably aren't going to get that last big paycheck in Europe, but aren't a commodity, like a, you know, there aren't necessarily a brand that can be used to sell soccer in MLS, but are very serviceable players. I thought for sure that there would be, you know, three or, you know, or just, you know, a handful more that would come over to play in Mexico because of Gignac, you know, because, I mean, Gignac, you know, he's a World Cup guy. He played for Olympique Marseille, so, you know, was a starter. Oh, yeah. You know, he came within inches of scoring the Euro 16 winner. When they played Portugal, I mean, he hit the post in stoppage time, in second half stoppage time. So I mean, it wasn't like, you know, I mean, you know, he's been a very serviceable player, but if for whatever reason it just didn't happen, and that really kind of surprised me. I thought that was you know, because, you know, Mexico's a very decent league. I thought, you know, well, you know, if Gignac can prove he can play and live well and get paid well, then maybe, you know, some of these, you know, late 20s, early 30s European guys thinking, hey, you know what? You know, maybe Mexico wouldn't be such a bad deal. Unfortunately, that's not how it played out, which kind of surprised me. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. So just to let you know, John, I looked it up. Monterrey goes in as 2019 Apertura champions. Club America is the runners-up. In 2020, in the Clausura regular season, the first place at time of suspension is Cruz Azul. And then the regular season, second place at time of suspension is León. So Cruz Azul, León, fill it up with Monterrey and Club America.
Well, there you go. So,
and that'll be for 2021.
Right.
Nope. Yep.
And, yeah, there you have it.
That's all. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Tigres, this is their last chance, and let's see what happens. I know you're going to be on tomorrow night, same time, John. Club America, you know, probably finish off Atlanta United. They're up 3-0. They just need to get an away goal to cement it. And as you said, Cruz Azul, apparently 3 to 4 players have been have contracted the coronavirus. So I don't know who they are. You'll probably look it up in the papers, but still though, that's a big, big loss. If it's a big name for Cruz Azul against LAFC, because I think, you know, Vela wants to prove a point after what happened against León in the round of 16.
Well, that, and then I got to think CONCACAF is going, please God, can we have a Club America LAFC semi? I mean, if it's a Club America Cruz Azul final, I mean, that's a rivalry game. So that would be great. But I'm sure CONCACAF and MLS and Liga MX are going, come on, just let us have it. Let us have that Club America LAFC semifinal, please.
Yeah.
So,
because that's going to,
you know,
really,
we'll
explode.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays
out.
Yep,
hopefully so.
Well, Daniel, I want you to take note that once again you spoke 15 minutes. And I didn't bring up the Jets, so I just want you to be aware of it. Of course, I have you know, nothing to say because the Cow, you know, the Jets of the NFC, the Cowboys, have been equally as pathetic this year. So, although not necessarily reflected in the win loss column, but it's been a terrible year for we are. not what was the football season can't end fast enough for us.
Hey, there's three games left for you, but think of it this way for you, John. The NFC East has been absolutely abysmal. We don't know who's going to win the division. We don't even know who will make the playoffs. All I can say is that maybe there's still some room for the Cowboys to make that surprising run.
Yeah, well, I'm not – let's not – it ain't going to happen. So it's not anything that I have to worry about.
And we won't get our first win of the season yet either, unless we somehow beat up on the Patriots or surprise them somehow at the last game of the regular season, which would be interesting. But anyway, I'll talk to you tomorrow night at the same time. Thanks again, John, and have a good night, and I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers. You too, Daniel. Thanks very much for having me on. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Excuse me. John Jagu, SoccerChronicles.com, Cantina MX Podcast. Great guy. Love being on his show. Love having him on the show to talk about these games and everything else. Montreal scored a goal, make it 1-0 in the second leg. They made the aggregate 2-2, but they were the road team in this one, and they lose on away goals to Olympia, 2-1. Congratulations to Olympia. They deserved to move ahead. They deserved to go into the semis. Montreal, opening 45 was not good. They did their they did better in the second 45, but once again, just not enough to get that second goal to at least win it completely on aggregate. All you can say for Montreal is great showing. Maybe they need to show a little bit more out there, but they just couldn't do it. And once again, Olympia does the job. Thierry Henry, first year head coaching in Major League Soccer. Decent run, but once again, just not enough to go out and do the damage, or at least go to the semifinals to take on Tigres. It's going to be a tough one, so we'll see what happens there. So tomorrow night is the second quarterfinal post-match, post-game shows in the CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals. We're going to have Atlanta United finishing off against Club America on FS2, Fox Sports 2, and then it will be LAFC versus Cruz Azul in that one. And that'll be at 10:30. Have the post-game show, 12:30 in the morning on the East Coast, 9:30 at night on the West Coast. So we're going to have on, hopefully, Jason Longshore of 92.9 FM The Game in Atlanta, the radio analyst for on Atlanta United and for the radio station. And then we'll have John on again. And then we're also going to have Miss Araceli Villanueva, as she will be covering LAFC for Switch the Pitch. So it's going to be Araceli, then John, and then in a recorded interview, Jason Longshore. I don't want to just keep it keep these guys waiting for a certain time to get on, especially you know, Jason. I'm supposed to have on tonight Kevin Laramie from Soccer Today Sports Podcasting Network. Unfortunately, just swamped with work, and he's going through a lot, and just could not come on. I know normally I would do a review on Friday, but because, you know, these are just going to be real quick ones, and then on Saturday night, whoever advances, we'll have to wait and see. But the truth is that I'd rather just do post-game shows right now just to finish this off, because this thing is really going to be over. One game's left, and that's it. Once again, Atlanta United down 3-0 on aggregate. LAFC, Atlanta United, Club America, that's going to be you know, a second leg officially. But LAFC, Cruz Azul, it's one and done. And then the semis and the final is one and done, all in Orlando in a neutral site. But once again, in this one, Montreal wins the match 1-0. The aggregate was leveled at 2-2. But because of the away goals, Olympia, first Central American team to advance into the semifinals of this edition of the CONCACAF Champions League and this format as well. So for Olympia of Honduras, congratulations to them. And once again, second leg, New York City FC fall to Tigres 4-0. Degas wins it on aggregate, straight aggregate, 5-0. And it's just a tough one to loss. I want to thank my guests tonight. I want to thank Mike Lander of Blue City Radio. And once again, John Jagu. Once again, he'll be on tomorrow night for post-match for both matches in the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Join me once again tomorrow night, same time, for CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals post-match show. That'll be show number 2. And then on Friday night, we're going to have the NPSL soccer show, final show of the NPSL soccer show season in its debut in the Four Seasons Fire American Soccer Show. And then following this upcoming Monday night, will be the final show for the 2020 season of MLS. We'll have on Carter Krishnire to talk and discuss and preview the competitions that U.S. Soccer is going to be in 2021. Don't forget Gold Cup, CONCACAF Nations League, World Cup qualifying, and of course for the Olympic qualifying and qualifying and the tournament of the FIFA Under 20 World Cup, which will be played in Indonesia. So this is going to be a very, very, very difficult situation when we get to it. So everyone on the East Coast, head to bed. Thank you very much for staying on tonight. And everyone on the West Coast, have a good evening. Take care. So long. Bye-bye for now. And as always, please, everybody, enjoy your football. Take care. So long. Bye-bye for now. And thank you for sticking around for the CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinal review show, post-game show, show number 1. And tomorrow night will be show number 2. Have a good night, everybody.